I guess it's not like an elaborate answer. Mm-hmm. It's just that he is the answer. And so if you're still walking in unforgiveness, then you don't have a clear picture of the answer.
Welcome to the Newly Podcast with Mish and Sav,
where we discuss topics from the old way of the flesh versus the new way of the spirit. Yo, yo, yo.
This is our second time trying this. Yes. I've got the giggles.
Episode 3. And we're talking about forgiveness.
Wow.
There you go. Once again.
I did that both times. Yes. We are talking about forgiveness. And before we get started, we wanted to invite anyone.
Yes.
If you're local to Columbus and you know us, like, reach out.
And you should come. Us
because we have a Bible study.
Every Monday.
At 7:30 p.m. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. And if you're wondering if we're inviting you specifically.
Oh, yeah.
It's you.
Yeah, you.
You're the one.
The one listening right now.
Yep.
Come.
Yep, exactly.
And Savannah has a group on Wednesdays.
I do. Wednesday mornings at 10:30 a.m., which is online Bible study.
Yes, and it's through Love Reality.
Mm-hmm. And you can email us newlymishandsav@gmail.com and we can get you hooked up with that. Or you can go to lovereality.org. Yeah, today we're talking about forgiveness. So, brief overview of what forgiveness was like in the flesh for you.
Okay, so I dealt with the opposite side of unforgiveness.
You couldn't receive forgiveness.
Yes. I couldn't receive forgiveness.
From God?
From God, yeah. Mm-hmm. I would beg. Mm-hmm. Beg.
And other people you would beg for forgiveness.
Yeah,
too?
I was just a sorry girl.
Yeah.
Like, my family can attest to that. And they will be like, but Misha, you don't change your behaviors. And at the time, I was like, but I really am.
Yeah.
Which I really was. Oh, but, like, there was nothing I could do. And, I mean, without an Adam in the flesh, you can't. Mm-hmm. There's nothing you can do because it's all on your own account. And if you're faced with the same situation over again and without receiving truth, you're just going to live out the thing that you don't want to do.
Exactly. The Roman 7 man cycle.
Exactly. So that was me all the time. Just like, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And
with no ability to change.
With no ability to change. And I really wanted to.
Yep.
And, I mean, I talked about it, I think, in last week's, that, like, I knew this is not it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I knew this wasn't the cycle that I was supposed to be having continuously. Like, there's just no way that, like, I can go through life continuously being so sorry all the time and not changing.
Yeah, like, there's no way that can be all God has for you.
Yes, no. So.
Mm-hmm.
But I did keep a record of wrong.
Yeah.
I was a personal secretary.
Yep.
And I may have forgotten, you know.
For the time being.
For the time being, but if you did something, oh, I'm opening that safe.
The filing cabinet is open.
And I'm pulling files out.
It makes me think of Soul when they're going through the filing cabinet. Really quick.
Literally. y'all just wait. But how about you?
Yes, so I never said I was sorry. I'm the opposite.
Crazy.
Never hear me say I'm sorry.
I cannot fathom.
Brayden is an I'm sorrier.
Yeah.
And for me, I would just get mad, like you said, but you just keep doing it.
Yeah.
And so I would, like, want to make him pay, you know? Like, you need to really feel bad, because then maybe you'll actually change.
So I was that way towards other people, I guess.
Yeah. Make him feel really, really bad. And then I would never say sorry. I would make him fix it all the time. Mm. And it was like, I would want to say sorry in both of our situations. We both wanted to do the right thing. Like, I would want to say sorry and to be the one to, like, go to him first. But I could not. Like, the words could not come out of my mouth because of pride, for sure.
Yeah.
The flesh, man. It just wants to protect and hide, you know. And, like, to admit that I'm sorry means to admit that I've been wrong.
I would want my grandpa to make him feel like he needs to say sorry for when he did something wrong. I would be like, you need to apologize. And I still wouldn't forgive him.
Yeah.
It was so weird, man.
It's so weird how out of whack everything gets.
I know. Like, saying it now, like, in that moment, it all makes sense.
It's just, like, being in the flesh, everything is wrong.
It's so twisted. It's so deceptive.
Like, every little area and aspect of everything. But being in the spirit, it's like going to the chiropractor. And they teach you, like, when you get adjusted, like, the rest of your body will, like, completely be healed, you know? The whole
spiel. What it's supposed to feel like.
But, like, your, like, how your spine affects everything.
Yeah.
And that's, like, what being in the spirit is like. You get your spine in alignment, and then everything else just flows perfectly without even trying.
It's like, now that the veil's removed, I can clearly see.
Yeah. In the Bible, there's the story of the parable of the unforgiving servant. And that is in Matthew 18, 21 through the end of the chapter. If anyone wants to read it, I would definitely recommend. But there's just a few points that I wanted to talk about in it. And the first is the title, The Parable of the Unforgiving Servant, which stuck out to me on Wednesday. Because unforgiving servant, like servant, like that's not me. That's not who we're supposed to be anymore. And, like, now, like, I used to live as an unforgiving servant, and now I live as a forgiving daughter.
But it's so interesting, like, a servant can be unforgiving. Like, you're low.
Yeah.
Like, how can you be
unforgiving? That's so true, though.
Like how low can you get? What do you have?
Like, what say do you have? Nothing. That makes me think of the story when Brayden was telling me that God created darkness, and I was like, no, he didn't, because darkness is the absence of light.
Flips in the Bible.
I open my God Bible. God created darkness. It literally says, were you there when I created the darkness and the light?
Savannah said, nope.
No, God. It wasn't the, I wasn't there. You're right.
You were there.
I was not. You were there, God. I was wrong. It just put me in my place.
So like, how are you to not forgive?
Yeah, exactly. Like, exactly.
That's what I think of.
That's so funny. But yeah, so basically in this story, there's a master, and he wants to settle accounts with his servants, and he goes up to one of his servants who owes him 10,000 talents, which every time I Google it, I get a different number, but let's just say it's $1 million. Like, it was a lot. Sometimes I find that it was, like, up to $3 billion. So, I don't know. It was a lot. And the point is that he couldn't pay it. And what's interesting is he doesn't say, like, oh, please forgive me. He asks for more time to pay it back. That is what a servant would do. Like, I will pay you back. Like, I will make it up to you.
Yeah.
And that's exactly how my relationship with God was. It was like, no, I don't need your forgiveness, God. Which is pride, actually. Like, it almost sounds like humility, like, but it's false humility. It's pride. Like, I don't need your forgiveness. I can pay you back. You know? I don't need to receive from you. I can do it myself, basically. And, like, that's what I was trying to do. I didn't realize it, obviously. It's deception. But, like, just trying to work for God and lay my life down for him, read my Bible, like, all of these things, like, striving and efforts, like, I will do it for God. But what's interesting is the master has pity on the servant and forgives him and releases him. It says, the master of the servant released him and forgave him of the debt.
Yes, released him.
Yes. Key word here. And what's interesting is what happens to the money?
It's gone.
Yeah. Which, all of this teaching is from Jonathan Leonardo from Love Reality. Yes. Life-changing stuff. Go to lovereality.org and check it out. Yeah, the book Free From Sin. Go get it.
Yes.
yeah. But yeah, so the money is gone. Like, it's gone. Yeah. And so the point is that the master has to absorb the loss, absorb the offense.
Yeah.
Like, the master's, like, he's gonna have to deal with losing $1 million.
And that's a lot of money.
Right. Like, it's not like he doesn't notice that it happened.
Yeah.
And so this has, like, been huge for me with forgiveness is, like, we absorb the offense.
Yeah.
And I, in Bible study a few months ago or something, I gave the illustration of if Misha comes up to me and dumps a whole Chick-fil-A lemonade all over me, like, you just take the little styrofoam cup and dump it all over my head, and I just stand there. Like, so, like, say that's the offense that you committed towards me. and I just stand there and wait for you to clean it up. Like, I feel like that's how I live my life. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to wait for you to say sorry and you to clean it up because you did that to me. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, you fix it. And the problem with that thinking is that, first of all, the mess never gets cleaned up. And second of all, every time I see you, I'm seeing this big puddle of lemonade on the floor. And so I'm seeing you through what you did to me.
Yeah.
And what we actually get to do as Christians, because we live forgiven, which we'll get there, what living forgiven is like,
yeah.
is I get to bend down and absorb the mess. Like, I get to clean it up.
Yeah.
And I get to release you.
From the offense.
Exactly. As if you've never done it. And then now when I see you, I don't see you through the puddle of lemonade on the floor because it's gone. Like, I actually just see you for through truth.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, good stuff, man.
That is real good. Yeah.
Like, that's basically...
And which is crazy because our biggest fear...
Is that?
Is that.
That people are seeing you according to what you've done.
Yeah.
And they probably are in the flesh, but but it's okay because it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So basically the definition of forgiveness is absorbing the cost and releasing the offender. So I absorb the cost as in I had to clean up the mess. Like, there was lemonade all over. I was sticky.
Yes.
Like, it was unpleasant to feel, but I release you completely from doing that.
Which I think is important to note.
Yeah.
Is, like... It still may not feel good.
Mm-hmm. If someone slaps you on the cheek, you feel the sting of the slap.
For sure.
Before you offer up the other one.
Yeah. But I think, like, that's why seeing people rightly is just key.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, you're not seeing people for what they do. Because if they were free, would they be doing that?
No.
No.
2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 19. Mm-hmm. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. That's wild, though.
Yeah.
We don't even see people according to what they've done.
So in verse 14 in Ephesians 2, it says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down in the flesh the dividing wall of hostility."
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. Is it talking about the flesh and the spirit?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that and the flesh and the spirit are always hostile to each other and always warring against each other.
Come on.
And now the one has completely been destroyed.
Yes.
So there is no more warring.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, which is also crazy because I put up so many walls. Misha's so happy. It's coming full circle here. Here we go. Walls. I had a dividing wall of hostility in my heart towards people, which the Holy Spirit revealed to me because I didn't even know. The Holy Spirit told me that I needed to apologize to my mom. And I was like, for what? Like, I hadn't done anything wrong. Like, why am I apologizing?
Mm-hmm.
And then God was like, you've put up walls in your relationship with her. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you're probably right. And this is so just like evidence of walking in the flesh. Like, I was doing all of the right things in my relationship with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wasn't like being rude to her or like, you know, doing something, no action. But she could tell that my heart was off.
Crazy.
Which is lawlessness.
Yeah.
It's like lawlessness is basically just when your heart fails to come into agreement with truth. It's the missing piece of righteousness that we need, which is interesting because it means that even if you were to be able to keep the law, like all of the Levitical law, you still would fall short because your heart cannot come into agreement with it completely because you would be doing it with the wrong heart or like resentfulness or bitterness or something would be off. And it proves that we cannot do it and we need Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, we have to have righteousness.
That piece always got me. And I think, I think you were talking about it first.
Probably, because I get hyped about lawlessness.
She does. And then, I think that's the part that hit me the most, is the fact that, like, I was doing all these things, you know, but, like...
Right.
You're like, with taking care...
You're not doing anything.
Oh, my God, like,
wrong.
Taking care of, like, my grandpa.
Yeah, which we'll talk about in the next episode, I think.
Well, just to give you a little preview,
mm-hmm.
like taking
You're
care
doing
of him, like
right
I was
thing.
Doing the right thing, But, like...
It's still off.
It was still off, what means...
Exactly. And that's what lawlessness is, basically. So, because I was still operating in the old way, in lawlessness, in the flesh, my mom could even sense that stuff was off. Like, we were, like, you know, there was, like, distance between us, and I didn't even know. The Holy Spirit had to reveal it to me. And then what's crazy is I was so excited to apologize, which at the beginning of the story, you heard that I hated to say sorry. And that's just the difference. Like, to anyone who is afraid to let go of the flesh and walk in the Spirit, like, don't be.
Yeah.
Like, oh, what if God makes me do something I don't want to do? Or what if, like, there is none of that.
No.
Because, like, I want to. Like, it's just, it becomes who you are and it's what you want to do. Like, whenever you
I want to make it right.
Exactly. Like, I was joyful to do it and I couldn't wait. And then it was like, I don't know, the next time we saw them, I just took her back in the bedroom and I told her, I apologized that I had been putting up walls in our relationship. And it was all just, like, perfect timing because she had listened to my Death to Life testimony episode and it was... just like really beautiful, and like basically she was able to receive freedom a few weeks later because she saw the transformation in my life. Like, how wild. But key point here, even if she hadn't responded well and she had been like, I don't care, Savannah, you suck, like I still could be okay because it wouldn't have said anything about me. You know, so like even if we do apologize to people and they don't take it the right way, like that's okay. But in the story it was great that it did, you know, turn out wonderfully and all that, and now we have a great relationship.
Amazing.
And it was like, that is what it, life in the Spirit is like.
Yeah.
Life in the flesh before was me trying to do the right thing and not being able to do it, and she and everyone else could tell. So what is forgiveness like for you in the Spirit now?
Forgiveness?
Or maybe talk about receiving forgiveness from God. Because, like, if you... It all starts with that. When you see God rightly, you see yourself rightly, you see other people rightly.
Yeah. I mean, I think just in my secret place time has changed. Like, how I go to God has completely shifted. Like, now, if I do something wrong, I thought we were planning on it. Like, or just, like get irritated, you know, like those little... You know, even the way I come to him is different.
Yeah. Like,
I just thank him that he has forgiven me. And I thank you that you already forgive me. And I really mean that. And, like, as before, it felt like, okay, this is my duty. I have to ask God for forgiveness because he's mad at me. And,
yeah.
But, now it's like, God, I thank you that you forgave me. And that this doesn't define... who I am.
Yeah.
And
it says nothing about you.
Yeah, it says nothing about me. And I thank him for that. And then...
and he has provided the way out.
Yeah. And so I walk it out. I always think of my family because I think that's where it always affected me the most.
For sure.
All right.
That's where it comes out.
It sure does. With family the most. And, like, whenever I can feel it.
At the door knocking.
Yes. But then I, you know, like, if they do say something to me that, you know, should make me in the world's eyes, like, make me feel, you know, I just, I take it. I absorb it.
Exactly.
And then.
You release them.
I release them from it.
And then you don't treat them according to that comment. Yeah, honestly, like,
the first couple times I really... was I used to tell myself, like, Misha, you see them rightly. Like, you see them rightly, you know who they are. And I used to tell myself that, like, you know who they are. You know who they're destined to be, their sons and their daughters. Because they are.
Yeah. Sorry. Facts.
Well, like, facts. That's not just me saying it.
Yeah.
To, like, get out of it.
It is literally truth.
No, like, that is...
that's how God sees them, because he doesn't see us according to the flesh. He sees us according to the Spirit.
And so, if I'm seen that way, then I get... It's a gift to get to see other people that way.
Truly a gift. Yeah, like, that's what's so different. All of this stuff is not requirements, not what we should do as... it's not a Christian duty. It is a gift to live in freedom.
Yeah.
Because what is the alternative? Bitterness? Like... we did all that and it sucked.
Yeah.
And now we literally get to live free.
And I cried today.
Yeah?
Because.
A different time no, or when no, I saw you? Oh. No.
I cried because the gospel is that good to transform you.
Mm-hmm.
And.
It's good enough. And if it hasn't been good enough, you probably just haven't heard it mm-hmm. yet.
And I literally, Savannah looks across. Are you crying? In front of everyone, I'm like, bruh.
Why are you crying?
Can I have my moment with spirit? Like,
yeah.
I'm just happy.
Yeah. Matthew 7 says, judge not that you not be judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And this verse sounds super scary yeah. in the flesh. But in the spirit, you realize that I have been judged innocent. And so now I get to judge everyone else as innocent.
Why would have that been scary?
Because it's like, oh my gosh, if I'm judging other people, then God's going to judge me and then I'm going to go to hell.
That's how it is?
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
I mean, look, legit. And then the Bible says, like, you know, if you don't forgive, your Father in heaven will not forgive you. Like, verses yeah. like that would come to mind. I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, I've got to forgive. Exactly. Yeah. But it's so much simpler when you see through the eyes of the Spirit. With the judgment you pronounce, I don't pronounce judgment anymore. Mm-hmm. Because God doesn't pronounce judgment on me.
Yeah.
And now I judge everyone as innocent. So now, because I know that I've been judged innocent, I judge everyone else as innocent. And so now it's not me trying to forgive.
So if someone does something to you, still you judge them as innocent.
Yeah. Because they have been forgiven already. Like, it's facts.
Yeah.
It's literally facts, though.
Yeah.
Like, whether I forgive them or not, they're forgiven.
Yeah.
Like, the whole world's sins are forgiven.
Yes.
Isn't that wild? And the only thing that people can do to stop that is to literally say, I don't want it.
Yeah. To just not receive it.
Mm-hmm. But it doesn't change the fact that the whole world's sins are forgiven. Like, God has already forgiven the whole world. He's not waiting for you to ask, and then he'd be like, okay, because you asked, now I forgive you.
No,
like,
Jesus that's not came and died. Went.
Exactly.
And rose.
Like, in this story, the servant didn't even ask. The master already forgave.
I love that.
We are just simply receiving the forgiveness that's already been offered. And so I think because we have that understanding off with God, where we think that we ask for forgiveness, and then because we asked, God mm-hmm. forgave us, then that's how we treat other people.
Yeah.
And so then the end of the story of Matthew 18, the same servant that was forgiven of the $1 million goes up to one of his servants. So this servant has like micro servants or something. I don't know.
I'm screaming.
He has servants even lower than that.
Even lower.
And he goes up to one of these dudes who owes him like $100. And yeah. he strangles him saying, pay me what you owe. After he was just forgiven $1 million, he strangles someone for $100.
Yeah.
And then this is where it says, like, you know, this is where it gets intense, where the master throws him in jail until he pays all of his debts back.
Yeah. Man. I've never seen it that way.
Really?
Yeah.
With how much we've been forgiven, like, this is what it looks like in the life of a Christian to not forgive. And, like, so now, like, in the life of the believer, there is no room for unforgiveness. Like, none. Zip.
I just never saw it from the master's viewpoint. After, what?
Yeah.
You're not going to forgive your brother?
Yeah.
It's like.
And you know what it reveals about the servant is that he's still operating as a servant.
Mm-hmm.
He's not taking on his identity as forgiven. Because if he would live forgiven, he wouldn't have been worried about paying back the debt. Because yep. he knows he can't. He would have just received. And then he would treat others and see them the right way.
Yeah.
Knowing that they are also forgiven. And then it says he throws him in jail so that he can pay back all of his debt, which he obviously can't. And so it's basically like, if you want to live according to the law, then you must fulfill the law. And you can't.
You can't.
Yeah. It's crazy because there literally is no room for unforgiveness in the life of the believer. But in the old way, I thought, like, yeah, we all deal with unforgiveness and offense all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But no, like, you really can't be free from that. Like, you are free from that.
Yeah.
And if not, you probably just haven't had a revelation of how much you've been forgiven.
Yeah.
And that's, like, what this story mm-hmm. reveals.
Yeah.
So what would you say to someone that needs a revelation of how much they've been forgiven? or someone who wants to understand how much they've been forgiven, like they want to forgive.
I would say tell them how much they are, what Jesus did.
Yeah.
It all comes back to what he's done for them. And like I said before, it is that good to change.
Yeah.
To change your perspective.
The gospel is enough for you to walk in forgiveness.
Yeah. Like, it's not, I guess it's not like an elaborate answer.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that he is the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're still walking in unforgiveness, then you don't have a clear picture of the answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's like, don't go after trying to forgive.
Yeah.
Go after him.
Yeah, go after him.
Because he will align.
And then when you get the revelation of what's been done for you, that's the only thing you can have to offer.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh my gosh, I have been forgiven.
I get to forgive you. Exactly. And you're so excited. You can, or apologize, you know, whatever.
And if you accept, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't accept, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But, like, I get to forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
And still see you in your rightful standing.
And you have forgiveness. Like, yeah. Christian told me. Like, you have, it is the reality that you live in. You live forgiven, and now you forgive.
Yeah.
You are a well overflowing with forgiveness. Like, you have no option.
It's an understanding who lives inside of you.
Yeah. It's not a trying thing, it's just a receiving thing. And so if, like, Satan comes at you with those lies and the thoughts, or he reminds you of how someone's wronged you,
mm-hmm.
God, I thank you for how much you've forgiven me. And now I get to forgive them out of abundance. Like, I don't operate out of lack. I'm not trying to forgive.
Yeah.
I offer what I've received. And I thank you that they've been judged as innocent. Or I've been judged as innocent, so now the whole world is also innocent.
This is when, what I wrote when I was sharing for the very first time at Brandon's parents' church.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, just a snippet of it. It says, because when I see others, I see how much they are so loved by our Father. I see that he now presents them blameless. I see that they were the joy that was set before him. Mm-hmm. And he endured the cross to have them. And he now calls them son and daughter through faith. And it's just receiving your adoption. That's how I see people now. Regardless of what they've done. Our free gift is the fact that we are saved by grace through faith. And it's not by what we've done. Forgiveness is not something that is earned.
Mm-hmm.
It's just you receive it.
It's just like it's counterproductive to be trying to work up forgiveness in yourself. Mm-hmm. To offer to someone else.
Right.
Your focus needs to be on receiving forgiveness from him. Like, you're just receiving forgiveness. Even, like that forgiveness is, like, it's, like, a continuous thing that I'm receiving from him and continually offering to other people.
Mm.
But, like, we separate it. Like, I receive forgiveness from God is one thing, and then offering forgiveness is another thing.
Mm.
But it's actually just the same thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Love Reality talks about all the time. It's the reality we live in.
Yeah.
Of under the banner of forgiveness. So, like, you can't try to offer up this thing that you haven't received yet.
Yeah.
How can you offer what you haven't received? So if you're having trouble offering forgiveness, it just means you haven't received.
Tune in for next week, you guys.
Yep.
We're talking about irritability.
Yeah. It's going to be a good one. Make sure to give us a 5-star review. Thank you to those of you who have. Yes. I was honestly shook.
Yes.
We have like 12 on Spotify.
Aww.
So thank you.
Yes.
2 of those are ours.
Yes, they are. So 10.
So 10.
So 10.
We gave ourselves a 5-star review.
We sure did.
No shame.
None.
The Lord gave us. He gives us 5 stars.
He does.
He's not giving us 4.
He definitely has given us 5.
A++. Email us newlymishandsav@gmail.com.
And follow us on Instagram @mishandsav.
She's making fun of me. But yeah, follow us over there. All right.
Peace and blessings, y'all.